You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is where people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules come to share our passion and learn more about caring for our senior equids. I'm your host, Kim Brown, editorial director of My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on myseniorhorse.com, videos, and much more. Our guest for this episode is Chris Heine, PhD. She's the equine extension specialist at Oklahoma State University, serving both youth and adults. Heine has taught and produced educational materials related to equine nutrition, reproduction, health, and management. She also has an interest in equine behavior and the promotion of the welfare of show horses. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Heine.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, let's just jump right in. What are some of the behavior issues that we see in senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules?
Well, you know, when I think about behavior issues, what I kind of think of is maybe people missing some of the more subtle behavioral cues that the animal may be uncomfortable. So just like us and our other competing animal species, with age, we get a little bit more wear and tear on the joints, get a little bit more arthritic. And so I think people might look at their senior horses and just say, well, you know, they're slowing down, but not recognize there may be some underlying pain. Because I think people are like, okay, if the animal is lame on one leg, right? So we can visualize that versus, you know, if it's more whole body stiffness. So if they're coming, you know, out of the pasture slower to get to their food, all of those may be indicators again of, there may be a little bit more uncomfortable.
And have you seen any difference while we're kind of on this behavior issues that people see and the difference in the different equids, horses and ponies versus donkeys and mules?
As far as do they act differently? I think, you know, donkeys are known to be a very stoic creature as well. And, you know, mules are always kind of halfway in between. So honestly, I think people probably miss more things in our long ears, right? Just because they don't express behavior perhaps as much as our horses do. But even within horses, right, there's a spectrum of what we think are, you know, the more sensitive type breeds and the more stoic breeds. And so I think it really is important that owners look for changes. And it's hard, I'll be honest, because if changes are happening slowly over time, it's a lot harder to recognize that. And so I think really trying to be objective about all of our interactions and kind of what was that baseline, or thinking back to, you know, what could I do to make this horse a little bit more comfortable? I'll give you an example from my life. So a little personal one. So I do have a horse who's in his 20s now. And so what I was observing, so they, you know, live on pasture, have a pretty good life, right? So forage, friends, freedom, we've got the three Fs going on. But the insects are now bothering him a lot more. So he is actually a lot more sensitive to the insects. So on pasture, he was not spending very much time grazing. He was in the shed more than he, what I think of should be. So bought him a fly sheet and complete change in his time budget, right? So now he's back out grazing on the pasture. And of course, all of his friends now go out there with him because everybody was standing in the shed because he was. So some simple things like that about paying attention to, you know, he's reacting a little bit differently than he used to and he's more uncomfortable. You can make some simple changes to essentially improve quality of life.
Yeah, and I also noticed and had to kind of address, I have an older mule, and well, he's not that old, but he's with an older horse, and they've been together a long time, years. And the horse was always dominant over the mule, which is typical in a herd. And then I started noticing that the mule was running the horse off his hay. And so you know, we had to do some stretching of out the hay and spreading it in more piles. So that was just, it surprised me, but it's not always dominant horse remains dominant horse as they get older.
Absolutely. And that's an important point that you made there. I think we assume that they keep their status, but they don't, right? They start to slow down. Again, kind of this age related, you know, you lose muscle strength, sarcopenia, all those things that happen that we know, right, across species. And so those are those observations I think you really need to be mindful and essentially provide some protection maybe for those older horses, or strategies where they either concentrate separate, you provide them more time to consume their meals. Oftentimes, you know, some of the reasons senior horses might start to lose weight is that we don't acknowledge, hey, they need a little bit more time to themselves. You know, it's a little harder to chew. They take a little bit longer. And so giving them a safe space to eat, I think is super, super important.
Well, and I learned a great tip from my daughter when I moved out to Wyoming, is she uses nose bags so that, yeah, they might have to go over, but we have hay at the same time. So if one finishes a nose bag, then they can't steal the feed from someone else. And there is hay for them to get into once we remove their nose bag. So it is a juggling act sometimes.
Yeah, it always is. And, you know, just that example of, you know, comfort in pasture or not, right? If you're noticing that they're not willing to graze anymore, or they need more time to themselves, you know, older horses need deeper bedding, so it's more comfortable for them, making sure that they have the ability to get up and down to get REM sleep, right? So we are increasingly acknowledging the importance of REM sleep. But if an older horse is going to struggle to get back up on his feet, or he doesn't have a comfortable place to lay down, that's going to inhibit his rest, right? And so we know how important that is for immune function, brain function, et cetera. So just thinking about those little things, I think, can really improve their golden years.
Well, that's great. Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them. Okay, so Dr. Heine, do you have some behavior tips for owners of senior equids, whether they are retired or still in competition? Because I know you do have an interest in competition horses and their welfare.
Yeah, so in general, right, so we might assume horses will need to maybe lower their exercise level as they age, right? So you may not be expecting them to do as fast of things or as high of things if they're jumping. But that continued activity, like, just don't retire them early because exercise, you know, and this is, again, going to be true across all species. Continued exercise actually helps with joint mobility, right? So if you don't use it, you lose it. So still keeping that horse in work, I think, is super important. You know, what we have not explored in the horse, but we could try to, again, to extrapolate across species, is that cognitive function and using the brain, right? So if we keep having them do things where their brain is engaged, I could only hypothesize is going to be good. We don't probably have the same, or at least the same handle on it as we do like cognitive dysfunction in our senior dogs, senior cats, but perhaps it's just an unstudied area. So I would highly encourage owners to still stay engaged with them, do groundwork at the very least, keep doing some light activity, keep making them part of your life. Because we also know people tend to start dropping off on the healthcare of senior horses as well, right? So they focus a lot more on their competition horses. And pretty soon we're not doing teeth, shoes, deworming, vaccine. Like we're starting, like we know that people don't offer the same standard of care often for the senior horses.
Yeah, I had a senior gelding and he literally told me I'm bored. So, you know, so I started taking him out when I was exercising my mare. I just pony him off with me and he was just the happiest little clown. And my mare liked it better because she had somebody to boss around. So It was a win-win.
Right. And, you know, as we all age, maybe it's okay to do more groundwork. But that, you know, I think horses are also unique just because of how long they live, that often both of us are aging at the same time. But it's important, if again, still spend time with them, still have them do things to engage their brain, keep their bodies active, because that's going to help keep them younger, right? So feeling younger a lot longer in life.
Well, and that kind of the competition and the exercise brings up an interesting question. Is unfortunately a lot of our older horses, mules, donkeys, whatever, are also the best ones when we have someone who comes to visit, wants to go for a ride. And so maybe they haven't been out for a while, and I'm not sure that's quite as fair to them to put somebody on them and expect them. Now, if it's just a slow trail ride or something, that's one thing. But, you know, it's like, well, let's go up the mountain today, or let's go, you know, on this little more rugged terrain. It may not be as fair. So keeping those horses a little bit in shape could benefit them as well as us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. A lot of times we do think about those seniors as they're safer for, you know, inexperienced people. And you could argue, you know, why are they safer? Is it because they can't do as much anymore? Or is it because that, you know, they're more fully trained at that point in time? I don't know that we've ever fully explored that. But you're right. I think pulling them out and be like, well, you know, my niece is here and now they're going to go on the 5 mile trail ride up and down the hills, that probably isn't the most fair thing. And you at least ought to be thinking about giving a little pain support for those guys. So, yeah.
That's a good point. So have you got any other thoughts just off the top of your head for, you know, behavior tips, maybe even for horses that are still in competition, seniors?
Again, I think we really need to pay attention to the subtle behavior things. We know that people miss a lot in horses and discomfort. So those ears pinned, or the elevation of the head, or resisting the bit, or a little slow to do, you know, a lead change or a transition may still be underlying pain. And so, I mean, that's my biggest thing. I don't, you know, that your senior horse is probably not going to radically change their behavior. If they do, that should be a big red flag, right? Something pretty drastic is going on with them if they're getting a lot of big changes, but not ignoring some of those other pain signs and recognizing they need longer warm-ups and more stretching, or you may need to reevaluate your diet plan, right? To make sure that they're not losing muscle mass, that you're providing a diet that supports, you know, anti-inflammatory diets, et cetera. So I think just being a little bit more critical about how you're feeding them, how you're exercising them, and really looking for those horses to show you subtle signs of discomfort.
Well, that's a great tip. And is there anything else that you'd like to add today for our listeners about behavior on the senior equids?
Well, when I think about seniors and behavior, and this would be a little bit about how they're housed, if those horses have had the opportunity to form social bonds, right? I think we, in horses, because, you know, we may move boarding barns or facilities, but if you're disrupting a long-term, like, pair bond, social bond, that can be really hard on that animal. And so I get it. You know, if you have to move across the country, you know, the horse has to come with you. Right. So I realize that we can't always do everything 100% for the horse's benefit. But recognizing that those are significant factors. Horses really do have friends, right? They have preferences over who they hang out with. And that can be extremely disruptive for them. But I get it, right? I understand that we cannot always maintain those forever. It's just the nature of the beast. But doing the best you can and making sure that you don't isolate them, or, you know, try not to completely remove them from having some social friends.
Yeah, that's good. And maybe try and bond them up with someone at your new place slowly, maybe one at a time, just to see their preferences.
Yeah, absolutely. Because just throwing them out in a herd when you're older can be very, very overwhelming. And so hopefully wherever they move to, they have the opportunity to have more like-minded friends and talking with a facility manager to say, can we introduce and kind of slowly see who they like to hang out with? Because that's a whole new area of research as well now, is trying to figure out social preferences of horses.
Of course, that goes with humans too. I mean, some horses, you know, they really do forge a bond with whoever's caring for them, whether it's an owner or a manager. And they can actually get a little despondent when they lose a friend or lose, you know, a caretaker.
Yeah. And I think, you know, depression in horses, grieving in horses, there's probably not very much science out there yet because it's hard to study, right? So these are very unique situations. And, you know, we're not set up in universities to have like, here's a whole bunch of horses that have lived together forever, and now let's see who grieves, right? So right. But I think anecdotally, we've probably all had that experience, you know, loss within a herd, and those horses just don't act the same, you know, whether there's real data, and I always try to stick to real data, but, you know, when a horse passes or is euthanized, like, giving them time to know that they're not there anymore, I think, are just those little things that we can try to help the adjustment.
Well, that's great. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close out our podcast?
Nope. Again, just really pay attention to those subtle signs of changes in your horse. And, you know, I'd always say go ahead and reevaluate your nutrition plan for your senior horse. And so contact a nutritionist or an extension person, right? Because we're always there to help and to provide some advice for owners.
We love our extension folks. So thank you very much for all that you do. So, and thank you very much for joining us today.
You bet.
And to our listeners, we encourage you to sign up for our weekly newsletter at myseniorhorse.com to be the first to get information from us. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you'd like to have discussed on the podcast or maybe delved into content from myseniorhorse.com, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter kbrown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.